The diamond I realized that I have to be carried.
This is one time I realized
wearing. Empathy Museum presents A Mile in My Shoes. These shoes are kind of a wedgie sandal with straps going up to your ankle. They're kind of like a beige slash nude with a strawish fabric at the bottom. These shoes belong to Daphna. This is her story.
Hi, I'm Daphna Michelson-Janay. I'm a mom, I'm a state representative, I'm a wife, and I'm a friend, I hope, to all those people who hang with me throughout the legislative session when I can't return any text messages. And I'm here to talk to you a little bit today about how I decided to run for office and what motivated me. And it's interesting that we're recording this today. It happens to be June 10th, which is my son's birthday, and he is my why. And I'm going to take you back in time a little bit. I was sitting on the back porch with two of my girlfriends, and there were about eight kids in the house, which of course explains why we were on the back porch. And my son opens up the window on the second floor of the house, and he screams out with his, you know, whole body rigid, this little six-year-old boy, and he screams out, "Mommy, I want to tear out all of my hair and all of my skin until I die." And my girlfriends just kind of looked at me because, well, 6-year-olds don't talk like that. And we started down this road of discovery. What was wrong with my son? You know, why did he want to die? And why did he want to die so graphically? And I reached out to his therapist, and his therapist, because he was already in therapy, and his therapist said, "No, don't worry about it. 6-year-olds don't die by suicide." Okay, so we continued on with therapy. And when he was 7 and started to talk about suicide, his therapist said, "Don't worry, 7-year-olds don't die by suicide." And then when he was 8 and he again talked about suicide, the therapist said, "Nah, 8-year-olds don't die by suicide." And by the way, I change therapists every time. And so when he was 9 years old, he was like, "All right, well, I'm done with all of you." I wasn't able to figure out his problems. He was frustrated in school. He was frustrated in life. And in the middle of math class, he tried to jump out the top story of the school building. And all of a sudden, people were ready to listen, because here was a 9-year-old who really wanted to die by suicide. And we went to the emergency department at Children's Hospital. They took away his shoelaces. They took away his clothes. They made him change. There was no TV in the hospital room where he was. Nothing he could really get a hold of. Nothing he could strangle himself with. Nothing. And we're just sitting there, and we're trying to figure out how we got here. So I'm going to backtrack a little bit. At the time that this was going on, I was volunteering at two of our juvenile correctional facilities, a boys' juvenile correctional facility and a girls' juvenile correctional facility. And I was realizing that the boys were very much like my son. And it didn't click for me until I was with some other girlfriends, not the same ones as the beginning of the story, but different girlfriends. And I said, "I'm looking at colleges for my daughter and prisons for my son." And it was like this huge light bulb went off. My son was on the school to prison pipeline path, and I wasn't doing everything in my power to stop it. So I live by a value that says, I will not complain about a problem unless I'm willing to work on the solution. And this came to me when I was 14 years old, and I was whining about my parents or something, and I realized that it wasn't working out for me. So I started volunteering. And I did the same thing when my son started exhibiting problems. I started volunteering and sitting on boards. And when he attempted suicide, I started sitting on suicide prevention boards. And at the same time, I'm banging down the school district doors, trying to get my son an individualized education plan, or what we call an IEP. And he needed that IEP to be able to succeed in the classroom. And the problem was that you only get an IEP if you are testing below grade level. Well, my child, of course, is brilliant because, you know, my child, right? Everybody's children are brilliant in their parents' eyes. And my child was brilliant too. And unfortunately, he was brilliant. He spent 80% of his time in the office and yet tested above grade level consistently on the standardized tests that were given in our schools. So no IEP for you. They gave him a behavior plan, but that expected that he was able to spend 80% of his time in the classroom when he had consistently been spending 80% of his time in the office since he was 6 years old. So I was not getting where I needed to get for my kid. And I had interviewed all of the special ed team from another school district because I wasn't their crazy parent. I was somebody else's crazy parent. So I got all the language I was supposed to use with my special ed department and, armed with the information, sat down with them and tried to get my kid what he needed. And I failed my kid. So when I had this moment of recognition, when I was volunteering in the boys' juvenile correctional facility, and I looked around, you know, we had language for my son by this point. He was twice exceptional, exceptionally gifted with an exceptional learning disability. And I looked at these kids who were incarcerated, and they were just like my son. And all of the sudden, I realized I didn't only fail my son. I and the collective we failed all of these kids who are incarcerated. It is our fault that they are in jail. Now, do I believe that people hold responsibility? Sure. But when we look at what has gone on in our school districts, in our school systems, and we see what we haven't done for our kids, maybe it's no wonder that we have so many youth who are spending their lives in jail. So as this came together, I realized that in order to solve this problem, I had to be on the other side of the table. I had to be the one making the law that said, we are going to support these youth. We're going to fix this problem. We're going to turn it upside down and do whatever we need to do to stop sending our children to prison and start giving them the tools they need in school. And 3 years ago, I was elected to serve in the Colorado House of Representatives. And this year, I finally passed my bill that I think is going to do it, because the moment my kid started to exhibit this suicidality, I started interviewing every social worker I could meet, asking them, what is it that I can do to help our children? And you know what they told me? The ratio between a student and a counselor or a student and social worker in Colorado is 1 in 1,400. It should be 1 in 100. Imagine that. We should go from 1 to 1,400 to 1 to 100. While I couldn't convince the legislature to go to 1 to 100, the National Association of Social Workers suggests 1 to 250, and I passed that law this year in Colorado. And we are raising money and bringing money together to reduce that ratio to 1 to 250, and we're going to measure it, and we're going to see what that success looks like. And maybe we found the answer by giving our kids what they need in elementary school so that they are armed with the tools to succeed in life and to succeed in school. Maybe we stop getting our kids arrested and start giving our kids an opportunity to be the most successful that they can be. Everyone benefits here. Our families benefit. Our children benefit. Our society benefits. Our workforce benefits. Our economy benefits. Think about all that money that we're wasting putting children in jail that we could be spending raising them to have the skills they need to succeed in our society today. Every day I wake up and I know my why. And my why is my son. He is my heart. He is my soul. And I will fight for him, and I will fight for children like him and all children every day that I'm given the opportunity.
Daphna's story was produced by Ryan Fu. Her shoes are part of a growing collection of footwear hosted by the Empathy Museum's A Mile in My Shoes exhibition.
The moment we hit our stride, this is one time when
the shoes and stories come from all over the world. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to find out where we go next.